What's going on? You know who this is. It's Keyshawn Johnson. Welcome to my new episode of this show, which is my show, Undisputed Presents All Facts, No Breaks Podcast. Joining us today is a Super Bowl champion, the 2012 NFL receiving touchdown leader. That means he was putting a lot of six packs on a lot of different people's heads. And he is also the host of Speak on FS1. It's James Jones. What's happening,
What's
man?
What's going on, my brother? Appreciate
Just,
yes, sir.
Good to have another fellow wide out next to me.
You already know.
You know. And then I got my son, Keyshawn Jr., even though he's not a junior, because my first name is Joseph. For some reason, it just became Keyshawn Jr. with all everybody in the community.
That's how it is. He's your young fella, so he a junior in everybody's eyes.
But he's going to join us today and moderate and throw questions at us so we can answer them and whatnot. But everything's good?
Man, everything good, man. Shoot, coming off this divisional round weekend when I was rooting for Lamar and the Detroit Lions. Man, so you know, both them fell a little short, man, but it's all good, man.
You know, I was rooting for Lamar, but not against Patrick.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I know what you
I'm rooting for Lamar.
But you wanted to see Patrick.
But I wanted to see Lamar get his, but then in the end, I win either way.
Yeah,
I win either way.
You wanted to see Lamar ball out. You wanted to see him go to work, but you wasn't mad if Patrick got to
because of the narratives, James. The narratives is obviously Lamar won't be able to get it done. Get it done. Yeah. See, he should go play another position. Yeah. All of that.
I just want to
get rid of that. Yeah. And he would have been able to get rid of those narratives. Although there's other people that played that position in the playoffs that went 2-4. And I'm sure we're going to talk about that at some point
in time. No question. No, I wanted it for him too, man. Just he wasn't himself though, man. He tried to me, he tried to play like Patty. He tried to stand in the pocket and play like Patrick Mahomes.
But that's what happens.
But that's not what you're great at, man.
I know, happens, though. You know, when you look across the field from somebody that does the same thing you do, you get caught up in psychologically, I got to duplicate.
Outduel him.
Plus, the public is, he needs to throw more. He needs to throw more. Instead of him just saying, man, I'm finna do what I do that got us here.
I'm finna do what I do to what got us here, and I'm gonna get us to the Super Bowl, and then they can say all they want to say about me running.
Absolutely.
And all that. When I win it, then we're gonna have some teams out here saying maybe we might need some more quarterbacks.
Exactly.
Lamar. You know?
Yeah. Well, starting the show off with the segment we like to call Facts or Fiction. Nick Wright, the leader of the Patrick Mahomes fan club, had this to say about the quarterback on Twitter following championship weekend. Quote, Patrick Mahomes, who is the greatest come-from-behind quarterback in playoff history and last year won a Super Bowl on one leg, is now unequivocally the greatest underdog in sports history. 10-1-1 against the spread and 9-3 straight up as the underdog. James, let's start off with you. Facts or fiction? Is Mahomes the greatest underdog in sports history?
Man, this is fiction right here, man. I don't even view Patrick Mahomes as an underdog in any game that he plays in. And I know Patrick Mahomes, you know, is so-called by the Vegas odds and all that, an underdog. But I'm sure it's a lot of people is not surprised Patrick Mahomes is in this game with how good Patrick Mahomes is. So I ain't saying he an underdog, greatest underdog quarterback of all time. No, that's some quarterbacks that we really don't believe in down there. We all believe in Patty.
How you going to be an underdog? Two-time MVP.
Uh-huh.
Six straight AFC championship
six of them.
Games. What else? What else he got on his
two
resume?
Two Super Bowl MVPs.
Three trips to the Super Bowl. Four in the last 5 years. How the hell you a damn underdog?
He just going off of Vegas numbers.
I'm not listening to Vegas.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm
if you know Patrick
eyes.
Mahomes, he ain't no underdog in nobody's eyes.
Yeah. That is, in the end, although I picked Baltimore, but I picked Baltimore with my heart because of Lamar, not my brains, knowing that it just felt like the moment that everybody was going to say Patrick Mahomes and it was finished, they was done, they the number three seed, look at them, they're trending in a certain direction, they was going to pop Buffalo, exactly what they did.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you saw exactly what they did to Miami, which we knew that was going to go down the way it did.
Miami ain't want that.
Then they handled Buffalo. Yeah. But you couldn't possibly have thought that they was going to walk in and lay down in Baltimore. It was not going to happen.
Yeah, and for me, I done play with some great quarterbacks, the Aaron Rodgers, the Brett Favre's. You ain't never an underdog when you got a great one. And the Vegas numbers and all that, and I know what Nick Wright is going off of, Patty Mahomes out there. Ain't
Nick Wright high.
Surprised.
Nick Wright need to be drug
Patty
tested.
In this Super Bowl.
You need to be drug tested for real, though, because if he thinks that Patrick Mahomes is ever an underdog, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. I know what Vegas is saying, but that's based on money coming in on betting on the teams.
No doubt.
When the Vegas people are looking at their quarterback and looking at the quarterback across from him, ain't no way in the world.
Yeah. And I understand what he's saying, too, because, I mean, Lamar about to win MVP. Baltimore got number one defense in football. They are the better team on paper. But on paper don't mean nothing, as we know, Keyshawn. And when you try
to
out
really, there, but were they really the better team on paper?
I believe so. They had everything. Number one defense in football. Better defense than the Chiefs. Remember, even though the Chiefs' paper, defense though. Is really good.
But remember, that's on paper.
But they put that on the field, though. Sacks, yeah. They was number
they
one
did.
In sacks.
They did.
Takeaways, third down defense.
They did. They put it on. I mean? No, they put it out on the field.
Even to shut Patty out in the second half. They didn't score.
Yeah,
Lamar
I mean, I just didn't
get his job done, man.
I've never really been a statistical guy.
No question.
You know what I'm saying? Because statistics lie to you in a heartbeat.
Quicken in a heartbeat.
Think about it.
Yeah.
You know, they lie to you in a heartbeat. How many dudes went before you in the draft, 6'4", 200 plus pounds, run 4.3? Them dudes can't play dead in the Cowboy
movie.
Can't
play, not football players.
Not football. Yep. So I just can't look at numbers.
No, I'm with you on that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, let's stick with Mahomes. Take a listen to what Colin Cowherd had to say on The Herd.
I will never doubt Patrick Mahomes again. For the first time ever, and though Brady was great, I never really thought this when I was watching. But I saw something yesterday, and I thought, sitting in my couch, I'm watching the greatest football player that's ever played. I didn't see Jim Brown. It's not about points. I'm watching the greatest football player I've ever seen in Patrick Mahomes. It was like Tiger in the red shirt. Final hole, final round at the Masters. It was MJ when challenged, backed into a corner, a game six. It's like a level above great. I think it's called historic.
Dad, let's go to you first. Is Colin spitting facts or fiction here?
I'm going to say fiction again. The reason I'm going to say fiction, because there's been great players all over the place.
Yeah.
And had he said the greatest quarterback that he's ever seen, then I would go, okay. But as far as the greatest player that I've ever seen?
Yeah.
Is Derrick Brooks, my linebacker in Tampa Bay.
Because in Tampa, Derrick Brooks.
That's the greatest football player that I've ever played with and have ever seen play. And play a position so flawless that you would just be like, unbelievable. Yeah. He gonna call it out when he see it.
Yeah.
Oh, he getting ready to run a stick route. I got that. Don't even worry about that. Boom, to the house, six pack. I mean, it's just his brain, his thought process, his understanding of formations and what a team is getting ready to do. And to be a smaller linebacker, he wasn't a 6'4", 260 linebacker. Yeah. He was Debo probably more in the 6'2", 235 range.
Yeah, running, though. Sideline to
sideline. Sideline to sideline. It was going to pack a punch. Yeah. Okay, I can tell you this right now. Torrey Holt still got ice on his jaw.
Yeah.
Okay? And Torrey Holt is a Hall of Famer.
No doubt.
He still got ice on his jaw. So I get what he's saying because he plays a quarterback position. But when I look at players, you know, I didn't see Jim Brown and O.J. Simpson and none of them dudes play. But I saw 55 play.
Yeah.
And when he was on the field, James, I'm telling you, it was different.
Yeah. And it's always an argument for greatest player. You know what I mean? Because dudes come up in different eras.
Yeah.
Dudes play with different players. Like, I believe in my two eyes, the greatest football player I ever seen was Charles Woodson.
There you go.
Like, I seen C. Wood sit in the training room for a whole year and come out there and win Defensive Player of the Year. Just watch film, getting his ankles iced up and come out there and ball out. But dude was so smart and so talented. And in my eyes, he's the greatest football player that I've ever seen play the game. And I done played with some special football players. But I kind of understand what Colin is saying, man, because you can talk about a lot of quarterbacks, Key, and you can say, man, I remember that bad play he made.
Yeah.
Oh, he fumbled. Like, in the playoffs, we really can't touch on a bad play that Patrick Mahomes has made. If we touch on a play with Patrick Mahomes, it's like, hey, man, the receiver's got to come down with that. But it's never like, man, like, he got strip sacked. He always makes the right
even
play
if you
in
go,
the playoffs.
Even if you go into the Super Bowl that he lost to Tampa Bay, we could point to he really didn't have an offensive line.
No, he was running for his life.
If his offensive line was intact, that might have been a different game.
No doubt. He was running for his life. But Patty Mahomes is absolutely special. To me, this is his greatest run, man. Like, I had him buried. I ain't gonna lie. I was like, I seen the receivers dropping balls. I even forget the receivers even dropping balls because Donald Driver always told me, you watch me play long enough, you're gonna see me drop another one.
100%.
So but just the chemistry. You got receivers running gold balls, bending it in, Patty throwing it there. You got receivers running corner routes. He want them to keep it high. They flattened it off. And when they was going through that slump of lost to the Raiders, lost to the Broncos, like, they just was not looking good. I did not expect him to be at this game, so I'm with him when I say I would never doubt Patty again, man.
I was always a believer because the tournament.
Yeah.
All you got to do is get in.
That's it. And get
if you get in
at the right time
and your matchup is right,
yep,
it's a different situation.
No question.
Their matchup was right. And they win it. They get a warm weather team in Florida that has no pass rush anymore. Mm-hmm. Jalen Phillips gone.
Chubb gone.
Yep. Xavier Howard banged up. So now you slide them to the cold. Yeah. You figure they're going to pop them. I never was a believer in Josh Allen in Buffalo.
Yeah, Josh Allen on
and
that
roller coaster. Their defense was decimated.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, they're going to go into Buffalo. They're going to win that one. And then you're like, once he go to Baltimore, dude probably going to come out on top.
Yeah, and he did.
And he did.
It's impressive, man. It's impressive to watch. He did.
Well, so what do you think it would take to surpass Brady for Mahomes?
Ooh. To pass Brady. See, you can't really. Brady's legacy's already done. There's nothing Patrick Mahomes could do to pass Brady. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing. Well, Brady's retired, but there's nothing that Brady has done that you take away from Patrick Mahomes because you could do it a lot of different ways. We could have this argument or this conversation about Patrick Mahomes being in 6 straight AFC championship games. He's got 2 MVPs in his 6th season in the NFL, 2 MVPs on the Super Bowl. We can start playing this, and then we go to Brady, and we go, well, Brady never did that in his first 6 years.
Yeah.
He won 3 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But then those 3 Super Bowls was all about the defense and the dink and dunk and the field goal. It wasn't about the Super Bowls like Patrick Mahomes. They're in the position because of Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily say that about Brady in his first couple Super Bowls. They was in a position because of the coaching and because of the defense.
Yeah.
That's why I can't get into this, he's going to pass him as the GOAT and this, that, and the other, because in the end, you're going to have an argument where Brady went to Tampa Bay and he landed in the perfect spot.
Yeah.
Did he really win the Super Bowl or was it really the defense? I just like to enjoy all great players.
No
rather
doubt.
Than try to pit them against each other.
Now, I'm with you on that, man. I say the same thing about LeBron. Like, you want to compare him to MJ, let's just enjoy him playing. But with Patty Mahomes, usually you think, like, a great player has to pass another great player in championships or something to be considered as the GOAT. I don't think that's necessarily has to be done with Patty. I think if Patty can get 4 Super Bowls and mess around and have 3 or 4 Super Bowl MVPs, and with our eyeballs, we've seen him look different than Tom Brady on the field. When I talk about an athletic standpoint of these no-look passes and all that, I think people are going to start putting Patrick Mahomes in front of Tom Brady from that standpoint, because I think a lot of people feel like Patrick Mahomes is more of a talent at the quarterback position than Brady. And with the talent, now he has the numbers and the Super Bowls to kind of get up there and compete with Brady. The reason why Brady's the GOAT is not talent-wise. He's the GOAT because of the things that he's accomplished.
Yeah.
Is he a talented football player? Absolutely. But the things he accomplished, 7 Super Bowls, and we know how hard it is to get
what
to
he got,
one.
7 Super Bowls, 5 Super Bowl MVPs,
you know what I'm
and 3
saying?
NFL MVPs.
Yeah, like that's so hard to do. But I think if Patty can get to 4 Super Bowls and 3 or 4 Super Bowl MVPs, I think people are going to start labeling Patrick Mahomes.
Well, no, this is his 4th Super Bowl. This is his 4th Super Bowl.
It'll be his 3rd ring, though.
Oh, you mean if he can get 4 rings.
If he can get 4 rings and Brady has 7, but with your own 2 eyes, a lot of people believe he's a better football player than Tom Brady, talent-wise, I think he's going to be up in that GOAT conversation and possibly pass.
I ain't Tom never Brady. Played with no one like him, so.
Yeah. I have. He was
I played in 11 years. I think I had 18 different quarterbacks.
Yeah, actually, you like Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald was like, I done played with 27.
I had. Yeah, I had a lot of dudes that...
I was blessed, man.
You know, it's so interesting because when I got traded to Tampa Bay, I actually could have gone to Green Bay, but I said no.
Yeah,
oh, I didn't want to. I just
didn't want that cold.
I didn't want the cold. I didn't want the environment. Yeah, I'm a city kid. I want, you know, I need to be down in Tampa near Miami. I need to be able to get to it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? On my off day.
Hey, I walked into Green Bay, man. I landed in the Green Bay, seen nothing, seen a three-legged deer running. I said, where I'm at, man?
No, I'm good. I was good. When they told me, when Parcells was like, well, you know, Green Bay, I think that's going to be. I said, man, I'm not going to Green Bay. I told him. I did. True story. I said, I will sit at home, come in at 300 pounds, get my accredited season with six games to go, and then y'all going to have to trade me. Now what?
Yeah.
He's like, oh.
I want to go to the G.
No, and they had Favre, too.
Yeah,
I just didn't. That wasn't me, man. I could do it.
I'm with you, man. It ain't a city life. It's a small town. It's cold.
Nope.
Yeah.
Well, I want to stay on the Brady comparison a little bit. Harry Douglas chimed in on 15 catching TB12. Watch this.
I think when you look at the trajectory that Patrick Mahomes is on,
yes,
I don't think it's going to take seven Super Bowls for him to surpass Tom Brady as the GOAT.
I don't do this.
I really don't.
You know what you're doing.
You're doing the
LeBron thing right now. I have sat there on the NBA and listened to this. LeBron doesn't need six rings to catch up with Michael. How many will it take? This is becoming the LeBron Michael
debate. Listen to me, Greeny. In his first season, Patrick Mahomes as a starter, the man threw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns.
Right.
Tom Brady didn't eclipse a 5,000-yard season till later in his career.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes has two in his first 5 years as a starting quarterback, along with 2 years in his first 5 years with single-digit interceptions. Two MVPs, two Super Bowls, five straight AFC championship appearances.
James, you kind of chimed in on this already, but is this becoming the new LeBron versus Jordan debate in the NFL?
It is and it isn't. I think it's different than the LeBron-Jordan debate because we've seen how special Mike was on the court. And I think that's what changed. Like, we've seen Mike flying and fadeaways and all this type of stuff, and we've seen dudes modeling their game after Michael Jordan. We don't really see dudes modeling their game after LeBron James, right? We are going to see young kids out there modeling their game after Patrick Mahomes. You don't really see kids modeling their game after Tom Brady. He was a really good pocket passer. He wasn't a scrambler. He could put the ball anywhere he wanted to put the ball, but the special plays and the wild plays and all that, you get so much more of that from Patrick Mahomes. And I feel like that's why it's hard for LeBron to catch Mike, and he's going to need those championships because we got that wild stuff from Mike.
Yeah,
we've seen a lot of that wild stuff from Mike. So that's why I think people think like Patrick Mahomes does not have to pass him in Super Bowls because they think he's a better talent at the quarterback spot. We don't think LeBron James is more talented than LeBron James, at least not me, from what I've seen Michael Jordan do.
Well, the conversation, the barbershop talk is always going to be comparing Michael Jordan to LeBron James. Six championships to 11 or 10 or 11 appearances, but Michael never lost. LeBron has lost, but Michael never got there prior to getting Scottie Pippen. Those conversations are going to always come up, and you write about one thing. People modeled a game after Michael Jordan, whether it was Kobe Bryant or whoever, would stick out their tongue. It could have been Harold Miner.
Yeah.
It could have been any of them dudes. It could have been me walking around with a knee brace on, knee sleeve on, wasn't nothing wrong with my damn knee, but I just wanted to be like Mike.
That's it.
So I get that. Patrick Mahomes, on the other hand, he may not need the seven or eight Super Bowls to, in people's mind, to surpass him because he is a different talent.
That's it.
It's just a different... It's a different wild factor to it. You can look at Caleb Williams from USC. There are comparisons already with Caleb and Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. People are like, oh, you got the next. Well, you're going to have the next one.
You're going to look for the next Patty.
And as I said to you before, when you look at the beginning of Patrick Mahomes' career versus Brady, I'm just talking about the six seasons.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes has outdueled him already. Brady didn't have no MVPs, none of that.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes has done that already. But in the end, I'm just going to enjoy both of them. Yeah. I'm not going to really try to say, well, Patrick Mahomes is going to surpass Brady, because then there are going to be people out there that say that's not the case because one dude only got four and another dude been the
and
team.
And that's when you just got, you just,
you know, you can't,
but you got to go
argue that,
I
right?
I think a lot,
you career's still young.
But you can argue it too, though, because of the eyeball test.
Yeah.
Just like when people say, who's the greatest running back of all time? 90% of people don't say Emmitt Smith. Emmitt Smith got the most rushing yards in the history of the league. But you hear people saying Barry Sanders, Jim Brown, because of the way it looked different.
No, it looked different.
You know what I'm saying?
I played against Barry.
Yeah, it just looked different. So I think that's what we're dealing with Patty. It looks totally different at the quarterback position than it looked with Tom Brady. Even though Tom Brady had a lot of success,
yeah,
and Tom Brady is the greatest of all time right now, it looked different because the way Patty is doing it.
It almost feels like, it almost feels like they did. And then when you look at the Matt Castle factor, man, when they won those 10, 11 games, you were like, well, you know, I get it. No, I understand.
Yeah, Patty is.
I understand it.
Patty's different.
Well, Dad, we know you picked Lamar to advance to the Super Bowl, but he couldn't get it done. The internet is now calling the Ravens quarterback a postseason choke job. Taking a look at this NFL meme that's been trending. The Herd, Jason McIntyre, even went as far as to compare Lamar to James Harden. Take a listen to this.
This analogy, Lamar Jackson is James Harden, an unbelievable regular season player who's utterly dominant, puts up massive stats, MVP, you know, highlights every night, and he gets to the playoffs and he comes.
James, is the internet overreacting to this?
Oh, man. I want to say yes, but I think Lamar has done this to himself, man. Lamar just does not show up in the playoffs. And it sucks because I'm a Lamar Jackson fan. I root for Lamar. I picked him to win this game against Patty too. But he just did not show up, and he hasn't showed up in the playoffs. I mean, he's 2-4 in the playoffs. I mean, he's a superstar, MVP, unanimous MVP quarterback, and he is not getting it done in the postseason, man.
What type of car is that?
And you see other dudes getting it done in the postseason. It's just tough, man, you know, because I root for Lamar, but I can't even be mad at people reacting like that, man, because that's what Lamar is showing us in the playoffs.
What kind of car was that?
I don't know, man. That was an old school Toyota or something, man.
I don't know what that was. I know the first one was a Lamborghini, but what is that? And
that's a little Nissan or something.
It looks like a Suzuki or some sort of...
Two-seater. They saying that's Lamar, man. Dang.
Well, I mean, you can say that again. You can say that about a lot of quarterbacks.
No doubt.
I could literally, if I had the time to do the research, I could find many quarterbacks.
No question.
And not only quarterbacks, I could find many people at other positions that had multiple playoff appearances and disappeared.
No question.
Okay? Witness protection.
Yep.
But because he's a quarterback and he's Lamar Jackson and he got the $300 million and all of that, this is part of it.
That's
why I wanted him to win so bad.
No question.
Because the first thing people are going to start doing, they're going to start comparing him to guys that failed.
Yep.
Okay? That's what they're going to start
doing.
That's
it. That's what they are
They done already forgot about Josh Allen. They done forgot about him. Now, that sin button that they was looking to push last week, they pushed it this week. Boom. Yep. Sin. That they was couldn't wait to
they
sit there.
Yeah.
The story was already written. Yeah. They just hadn't pushed sin at the end of the day. Yes, can I defend him? No, I can't because the record speaks for itself.
That's it.
He has played poorly. There's no question about it. But at the same time, I go and I look at it, I say, look, man, he's still young.
Yes, he is.
His runway is long.
Oh, yeah, he's still got
If you're talking to me 3 years from now and this is still happening, it's like, well, man, maybe it just ain't going to never happen. Maybe he's just that guy that is never going to happen. And we've seen great quarterbacks be put in this situation. We watch Peyton Manning. Let's not forget about
Peyton Manning struggled
in the
playoffs.
Let's not act like Peyton Manning wasn't 2-4 once upon a time.
Yeah.
And then eventually, it popped for him.
Pressure.
And then he started to win games. And many of those losses, he had the 1 and 2 seed.
Yeah.
People don't, they want to try to act like they don't see that or know that.
Yeah.
Stop it with me because I'll get to digging shit up on
him. It's very true. Peyton Manning was terrible in the playoffs.
Terrible.
His first couple years in the National Football League. But that's the thing, man. Lamar Jackson, you know, I think it's so many eyeballs on him because of the style of quarterback he is. He's a run-first quarterback. A
lot
of
snack, crackle, pop.
You know what I mean? He ain't 1-2-3-4-5 ball out, 1-2-3 ball out. So he plays a quarterback position different. And for years and years and years, everybody's always said that this style of quarterback can't win a Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts got there last year on this style of quarterback. Not as high as the level as Lamar Jackson does it, but he's a runner.
He almost won it. They just almost fumbled.
Yeah,
he almost got
it done in the Super Bowl, but I think that's what everybody's saying now, too. Lamar Jackson, he's a runner. You need a thrower at the quarterback spot, you know, to win in the playoffs and all that. That's why I was truly disappointed because Lamar got off of his game.
But you know the crazy
narrative about running quarterbacks that never won Super Bowl, what you think Steve Young was?
A running quarterback.
A running quarterback. But they forget about all. See, I got too much stuff in my brain. You ain't going to fool me.
But it just looked different with Lamar. That's the only
thing. It looked different. But at the same time, Steve Young led the league in rushing as a quarterback.
Not only that, a lot of people are looking for these mobile quarterbacks now. Exactly. Yeah, you want a mobile quarterback that could throw, but Russell Wilson was a mobile quarterback and a
Patrick
running quarterback.
And Patrick Mahomes is a mobile quarterback.
Patrick Mahomes makes some of his biggest plays getting outside the pocket. So it's just Lamar Jackson, when he gets outside the pocket, he looked like Barry.
They was waiting on this, Keyshawn.
They was.
Well, let's talk Brock Purdy. Game manager or game winner?
Ooh.
You already know your Fox Sports 1 co-host Richard Sherman took his Purdy victory lap saying, quote, "Wait a minute, Brock Purdy to the Super Bowl? Game manager? No, game winner. If you are a Brock Purdy hater, make sure you turn away." GetUp's Ryan Clark shared similar sentiments, asserting that Purdy separated himself from Tua, Dak, Cousins, and Herbert. So this begs the question, is Mr. Irrelevant now an elite quarterback?
Well, look, man. He's perfect for what San Francisco is doing.
Great for the system. Yeah.
He's great for what they do. All quarterbacks play in systems. Mm-hmm. We all do. Some people thrive in certain situations better than others. And in this situation, he certainly is good for San Francisco. However, there is nothing wrong with being a manager. I want you to be a manager. I don't want you to be a gunslinger in the Super Bowl, into the playoffs. I don't need you throwing the ball to the other team with the other uniform on. I need you to be 20 or 26, 215 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a 1-yard sneak at the goal line. Yeah. That's the goal. That's all I care about. But people get so sensitive about these things. I can look at Trent Dilfer.
Mm-hmm.
Great defense. Trent Dilfer was something like 12 or 36, 160 yards in a touchdown, and won the damn Super Bowl. My own quarterback, and Brad Johnson, with a great defense. I think we got 4 or 5 Hall of Famers on our defense. Man, threw 2 touchdowns in the Super Bowl, man. The dude was efficient.
Yeah.
But people just, the word, when you look at Tom Brady, for instance, Tom Brady lost 2 Super Bowls with a combined 900 and some yards in the air. Lost 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
2 of them throwing the ball all over the place.
Yeah.
So who do you want? I want a guy that's going to manage me to a Super Bowl victory.
Yeah, and I mean, as I was watching that game the other night, game manager clearly went out the window. And the reason why I say that is because he made plays off script. Everybody's been waiting on him to say, man, Kyle Shanahan is dialing up all these special plays. Like, it's an answer to every coverage with the ball out. They won that game because Brock Purdy made 6-7 off-script plays, which plays that Jimmy G would not make. And Jimmy G was a game manager. So I don't want to put him in the game manager because I did have him in the game manager. Like, everything has to be right. Debo got to be healthy. Trent got to be healthy. McCaffrey got to be healthy. He can't be playing from behind. I said all that too. But watching that game against the Packers, him go down there and make some off-scripted plays to win that game on the last drive. And then last the other night, for him to be down 17 points, terrible first half. But in the second half, the young fella did not make a bad play. The only bad throw he had in the second half was a tip ball that should have been picked that Brandon Ayuk caught.
Actually, that wasn't even a bad throw.
He went and made a play on the ball. But you know what I'm saying? That ball could have been picked. People could be looking like, okay, that's a bad decision. But Brandon Ayuk made the play. Other than that, with his legs, with his arms thrown across his body, like, if we just switched the uniforms coming down from 17 and that was Patrick Mahomes, everybody will be losing their mind right now. Patrick Mahomes, 3rd and 4th, throw the ball across his body. One hand catch by Jennings. What a great play. Patrick Mahomes escaping out of the pocket. 3rd and 12, picking up the first down. Come back down. We'll be praising him. So I don't really view him as a game manager no more, seeing how the young fella played and got outside the pocket. Is he in a really good system? We all know that's true, yes. But he made some plays off script that was special, and I'm going to give Brock Purdy his respect.
But see, there's nothing wrong with being called a game
manager. No, it ain't.
That's why people, they want to make it sound as if it's like detrimental to his career.
Win the game.
Like, he winning the game. Yep. I don't,
Because if Lamar Jackson won and he had 100 yards passing and 50 yards rushing, we'd be sitting up here saying Lamar Jackson could get it done.
I bet you one thing I could surely say this. Kyle Shanahan would rather have Brock Purdy right now than Josh Allen. Ooh. They tried to go get a Josh Allen.
Yeah, they did tried with Trey Lance.
With Trey Lance. Guess what he sat there, looked at that and said, yeah, that's probably a mistake on us. We messed this up. Moved on from him. Took Mr. Irrelevant. Now he finds himself in his second Super Bowl as a head coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, how could you complain?
No question. You can't complain. Brock Purdy got him there.
Well, do you think he's a top 10 quarterback at
Ooh.
Least?
Well, see, that's a different conversation, though, Keyshawn. Because when you say top 10 quarterback, can what Brock Purdy, can he go to
Carolina,
and all of a sudden Carolina looks like a different team?
Let's see.
Yeah, Arizona.
So we got Patty. We got Josh. We got
Patrick, Lamar,
Burrow,
Josh,
Lamar,
Burrow, Herbert.
Herbert.
Dak.
Dak. Some people you would argue probably to get him in the top 10. Jared Goff is up there.
Jared Goff. Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence.
That's 8.
You know, if you Jalen Hurts, even though he didn't play all that great this year, but he's been in 3 straight playoffs. Appearances of Super Bowl since he's been a starter. Who else are we thinking about? Let me think of somebody else. Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, Matthew Stafford. That's 10. I'm a Matthew
so,
Stafford.
So, yeah, I don't
you
have
can argue
I don't
him
have
being
him
in
the
top 10, but it's going to be tough.
You can argue. Yeah. I mean, you could certainly argue it all day long because we didn't even mention Aaron Rodgers because he didn't play.
Yeah.
All
right. Yeah. And Aaron would be in there.
Okay, let's move on to the Lions' loss. Head coach Dan Campbell said in his presser that, quote, "This may have been our only shot." Dad, let's play back something you said on Undisputed.
I tell you what my old coach Bill Parcells always would say. It's one of the things he always said. Take advantage of this situation because you may never, ever get back to this point again in your career.
And Dan acknowledged that after the game.
Oh, did he?
But he said,
okay.
There's also a good chance we will be back next year because what else are you going to say?
They got a great young nucleus of players, man.
Put it this way.
If that young nucleus keep everybody in check and make sure everybody works like they
That's all fine and dandy. I played the AFC Championship game, and it took me forever to get back to another championship game before eventually going to the Super Bowl.
From a player's perspective, do you guys like or dislike your head coach keeping it real about the team's chances to get back to a title game?
Oh, no, I totally like him keeping it real on both sides because, like I said, I've been in that situation. Mm-hmm. Dan played with me in Dallas. He didn't play with me at the Jets when we went to the AFC Championship game. But one of the things that I remember the night before the game is Bill saying to me on a sidebar, mm-hmm. Do everything you can.
Yeah.
Because guess what?
Yeah.
If it don't go the way you want it to, you may never,
no doubt,
play in an AFC Championship game. There are people that played in the league that are in the Hall of Fame.
No question.
That have never played in the Super Bowl, has never played in a championship game, let alone the divisional playoff game. Yeah. There are people that were great individuals at doing this. So, yeah, you gotta take that man. But if Dan coached the way he coached, then they ain't going to get back any damn way.
Yeah.
Because he lost the game
he
for them.
He lost the game for them.
With nobody saying
yes.
Nobody.
And that's my thing. Like, I'm cool with it, and I'm not cool with it. Because, Coach, like, we've been going for it on fourth down all during the season. Mm-hmm. But we in the biggest game of our life.
Exactly.
At one point in your life, we've all been in situations to where, like, oh, okay, I won doing this stuff last time. But I can't do this again and jeopardize losing this game. If he wanted to win that football game and you know that there's not a chance that you are going to get back here, you go up 17 points. For the world, when he could have won.
Not even 17 points, but for the half. 4-for-2. You kicked the field goal. You double thought in your mind. But for the half, you originally was going to go for it. Then you psyched yourself out, faked yourself out.
I'm glad he did. Go up 3 scores. Keith.
Go.
If he takes the field goal.
Nah, but he should. That point, though, what I'm saying, though, James, is demoralizing. If think about it. 28-7. if it's 28-7 at halftime, they walking in that locker room, their heads is between their legs. They sitting there. You could hear a ant crawling on the ground in the locker room. You've been there when it's going bad.
I understand.
Opposed to we stopped them on fourth down. Okay, we got a little bit of hope.
But in the second half.
But in the second half,
the Niners get the ball.
Yeah.
They drive down the field. The defense holds them to three.
Yeah.
It's a 14-point lead.
Yeah, take the three.
Jared Goff gets the ball, drives straight back down the Niners' throat. It's 6 minutes and 50 seconds left in the third quarter. And you kick the field goal and go up three.
Instead of, even Niners though Josh Mendel should have caught it.
The Niners have to score three times.
Yeah.
That's not enough time.
No, it's not.
Like, they're going to run out of time. Right? And it's not even saying that after
but
you kick it off,
that,
they
though,
won't go
but
down
not,
there
not only
and score.
That, not only that, you flip the field.
Exactly.
You flip the field
and
you
the
kick
momentum.
The field goal, you kick the field goal, you momentum, you demoralize them. You flip the field because you kick off, you back them up at 20,
they on the 20
instead of giving them the ball, whatever it was, the 40-some yard line.
With the momentum.
With the momentum.
He lost that football game for his team,
man. No, he did,
for
sure.
And that's why I'm not cool with him getting up there saying that, because you lost this for us, coach. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't get up there and you're the reason why we lost, saying we might not never get
back
here. But
the thing is he was thinking like, in my opinion, he was thinking like a player, not like a coach. Because as players, we want to go for it.
No doubt.
We want to go for it.
We ain't never turned down.
Yeah, we ain't
going to.
Man, take the three, man. What you mean? Yeah. I can make this catch. I can get it on fourth and two. I can get this run. That's how we think.
It's the coach's job to protect us from ourselves.
Exactly. He was thinking like a player instead of like a coach.
Yeah, but not only that, on both of them.
Yeah, on both of them.
Like, tie the game, bro. Like, let your defense go play. They might get you the ball back, and all you need to go down there to do is win, is get three.
Yep.
Like, tie the game. It was just like his stupid decision makings, man, lost the game and lost the chance for Jared Goff and them boys to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So, taking it to social media, CJ Gardner-Johnson waving goodbye to the Niners fan in the second quarter, aged like milk. Yeah. Debo weighed in on Twitter saying, quote, somebody go check in on Lil Bruh. Have you guys ever celebrated too early in a game like this in your career when you thought it was over and it's done with?
Yes.
Let's talk about it.
Yes, 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 yes. I don't necessarily know that I was waving to the fans because we were at home, but I was talking shit.
Yeah.
You know, I just figured it was over. We played Indianapolis on a Monday night. I'm in Tampa, and this was in, I feel like it was in 2003. No, yeah, 2003, I think it was. It was 2002, something like that. And we're playing Indy, and we're up. I think the score, man, we might have been up by like, I feel like we was up by 24 points with like about 7 minutes to go in the game.
Sheesh.
Yeah, we got to check that, though. Oh, something like that. So James, so now I'm talking mess during the game. So I leave the field. I got a thigh contusion. I leave the field. Like I said, about 7 minutes to go in the game, I'm walking in. I done got in the shower. I'm iced. The trainer said, boom, boom, boom. I'm iced. I'm cool. They come running back in saying, yo, coach wants you to get back out there. I said, what you talking about? I'm
uniform
iced
off,
up.
Everything.
It's over.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the, now I go into the locker room and I'm looking at the TV. I'm like,
they
you got to be kidding me right now.
They coming back.
21 points with 4 minutes to go.
In the game.
In the game. It lost.
Gosh,
it lost.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
That mean they got onside kicks and all that.
Man, they did. I don't know what it was, James. I'm telling you. When I walked in there, I'm like, oh, it's over.
Yeah.
And I looked up, and I was like,
that's
how this happened?
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty wild.
See, I ain't never been talking to the fans and all that, but I definitely talked. We talked amongst teammates on the side.
Yeah.
It's here over, bro. And then next thing you know, you're looking in the huddle at each other like, bro, we got to score. You know what I mean? It did the pressure on you, man. So, hey, it came back to Big Guard, my man Johnson, man. But, hey, it happens like that.
But I have also been Debo Samuel.
Yeah.
I've been that guy where we losing
and, come
and
back.
The DB popping.
Yeah.
And I'll tell him, I say, you're going to be on SportsCenter tonight before it's over with.
We
you
came
gonna
back.
We're going to get you. I remember we was in Seattle. We was playing the Seahawks, and I was in Dallas, and the dudes was popping.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was popping. And I told him, I said, man, that's okay. I'm eventually going to get you. I'm going to hurt y'all.
That's
y'all going to feel it.
That's it.
No, and true enough, got him, clipped him.
Yeah, Debo know that they snuck out of there with one.
Hey, man, thanks for joining me. I really appreciate this.
Absolutely. Appreciate y'all.
Really appreciate you, James, for joining me on another episode of All Facts and No Breaks.
So next up is a segment we like to call Two Keys in a Pod, or if he would like to call it the nepotism segment, a little father-son moment. You know, the Super Bowl is coming up. I don't really remember too much. I was like 4 or 5 years old when you won, but I remember going to San Diego in 2003, you know, you getting me from the seats and just getting me, but I don't remember too much about the Super Bowl. So just wanted you to walk us through like the preparation of leading to the Super Bowl. Like if it's stressful with family, everyone coming in, like you're from California. So the fact that being in San Diego, there's a lot of people coming that, you know, is it nerve wracking? I don't know. Stuff like that.
No, it was crazy. Yeah. Because we were in Philadelphia. We beat the Eagles.
And that was a thing too, right? You guys
we couldn't beat the Eagles. We couldn't play in temperatures. I think at the time was below 40. Anything in the 40s or something like that, we would lose all the time. We played the Eagles earlier in the season. We lost to them in the regular season. And one of the things Derek Brooks said as we were leaving the field, he kept telling Troy Vincent and everybody, "We'll see y'all again. We're going to be back." And then we caught him in the NFC Championship game, smacked him up, slapped him up, celebrated, enjoyed it. Talk shit to the Fox crew because Fox was covering the game. I had a Terry Bradshaw throwback jersey on for Mitchell and Ness. Went in the locker room, put our throwback jerseys on, came back out, you know, clowning, having fun.
Yeah.
Then after that, we fly home to Tampa. I feel like we had about 8 hours to pack our stuff to get ready to head to San Diego. But like you said, I had to get 100 and some odd tickets.
Yeah, I remember everyone came.
Yeah, I had to get 100 and some tickets. So what I was doing is a lot of the dudes that didn't play, like on the practice squad and stuff like that. So I thought everybody, I was smart. I brought a bag of cash, a crazy amount of money, to Philadelphia. Like a bag, like it was, I don't know, I bought a couple $100,000 or something like that. On the plane on our way back, everybody was trying to assemble tickets from the players. Right. So I had the money.
You already had it.
I had the money. So you know how the cash flow is. It's like.
This is before cash out.
I got the money right here. So everybody negotiating. You know, you got Brian Kelly negotiating. Everybody trying to negotiate to buy people's tickets from them.
All right.
But I had the money.
Yeah, you were ready.
And I was ready to go. And I'm like, well, man, if you, you know, I'm like, I say, if you get down on the ground and. All of a sudden, the ticket prices shift on you. I got this money. I got these 2 G's for you right now. I got 4 G's, 5. I don't even know what the number was, but I'm like, I got it for you right now. And everybody like, oh, man, we want to wait. Let's wait till we get. I said, I'm telling you, the ticket prices. So I wound up getting all the tickets, boom, whatever.
How much were they? Like,
Tickets. I feel like I was paying like $2,000 a seat.
See, that's a discount now.
Yeah. So it was like. About $2,000 a seat. Yeah. But I was buying them from a lot of guys on the practice squad. Right. So they need to. So
they're like, yeah,
right
I
now.
Need that. Yeah,
so
yeah, we're good.
I'm like, here we go. So I get all the tickets for mommy, for everybody. You know, then I had a bunch of extras that I could flip to the ticket brokers. That was like the big thing back then is the Super Bowl, the tickets, getting Super Bowl tickets, keeping some and selling some. So I was able to do all that. I got extra tickets from the Glazer family, which they were very, very gracious to me. They gave me like a bunch of seats. So it was like a celebration.
Right.
Then we didn't have this 2 weeks in between. We went right from the NFC Championship game directly into Super Bowl preparation.
So you had 6-7 days to prepare.
Yeah, like about 6 days to prepare. We didn't really have a curfew. Because we all knew what to do as we was here for business. I didn't go out not one time in San Diego. I went to eat once with Jerry Rice and them. And some other teammates later on. But other than that, I was chill. So the night, I'm trying to think. And then I would drive up to Orange County on my days off. Not my days off, but my time off. Once I was done with my obligations, I would just drive up to Orange County and chill and hang out in Orange County just to get away from all the hype of the Super Bowl. And then we just basically took care of business, went out there and wrapped them up. And that was it.
But you guys weren't too nervous or anything, right? Because No, I mean, Coach Gruden was the coach the year before. Like, he knew the Gannon. Were you guys going in like, oh, we're winning? Like, it's cool.
No, you don't never go into a game like that.
Like that, but
I was nervous. Every day, stressed, because what I didn't want to do was be the guy that cost us the Super Bowl.
Right.
Didn't want to be the guy that dropped the ball on a key situation. I just didn't want to do that. That was a no-no. The night before the game, I didn't sleep at all the night before the game. No sleep, zero. I watched the Australian Open the night before the game. And then I sat in the hallways talking to the security because the security was on our floor. Our security's on our floor. So I just sat outside and was talking to them or whatever. And then when it was time to get on the bus to go that next day, I got on the bus the next day. Now, I paid for it 4 days later because I was tired as hell. Once we won the Super Bowl, me and Brad went on Jay Leno. And then I didn't even celebrate. Me and Brad didn't celebrate with the team at the stadium. You know, they got the whole big thing when the teams get back. We was in L.A. on the Jay Leno show.
So that was your show. You went back to L.A. and
went back to
L.A.
do yeah. Jay Leno. Then we flew back to Tampa for the ticker tape parade. That was kind of the whole situation. And then you and Maya flew back with me. You and Maya flew back with me, and then somebody else flew back with me.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool, man. Like,
that wraps up today. I appreciate my guy James Jones for joining me on this show. Don't forget to subscribe and follow All Facts Podcast on social media. Until then, it's Keyshawn Johnson. Peace.